Welcome to Local Matters. I'm Louis Matheny, and we are in the studio today with Bob Larrick of Sports One in Cookeville, Tennessee, and our historic west side of Cookeville. And within the walls of Sports One is an assortment of goods that are absolutely astounding to see in person. And unfortunately, on top of several deadly incidents that have occurred in the Cookeville and Putnam County region, a tornado. Obviously, we are, you know, under the same sort of pressure and stress the entire nation is with COVID-19. So as if that wasn't enough, Bob and his wife Tina's strength and faith and intestinal fortitude have been pressed to beyond the limits that most people could handle. And it's damaged several goods. And I'm just hearing a story for the first time about a Peyton Manning piece that I'd love Bob to tell us the history about. Bob.
Okay, we suffered a fire. It's early Saturday morning, and during the fire, and by the way, Lewis is the one that actually called us at 1 o'clock in the morning to let us know that we had a fire. He texts my wife quite often, and sometimes on the weekends, Lewis, you know, he enjoys himself, and so my wife just assumed that Lewis was drunk. And kept turning the phone off.
Except that I don't drink alcohol anymore at all.
well, she was assuming.
Yeah.
And so about the fifth call, she's going to answer the phone to tell Lewis, why are you calling us at 1 in the morning? And that's when Lewis tells her that our building's on fire. So then Tina wakes me up and said, we've got to go to the store. Well, my first thought is, some coach or somebody like that is needing something at the store at 1 o'clock in the morning, which has happened in the past, and I'm mad because I've got to get up and get dressed to go to the store just to let some idiot in my store. And then she says, no, it's on fire. And so things got really speeded up at that time. So we make it to the building. There's a lot of smoke and everything going on. A police officer let me go around the side of the building, and I see the fire trucks in the back, and one of the firemen is a friend of ours. We've known him for a long time, and he is carrying out a game-worn Peyton Manning football jersey that Peyton had autographed to us like 25 years ago, back when he played at Tennessee. And 20 years ago, we suffered a fire, and this fireman, that was one of his first years on the job. The same fireman that saved that jersey the first time is the guy that carried it out this time. And he kind of jokingly said, okay, this is twice I've saved this jersey. I don't want to ever see a third time. And honestly, I don't want to see a third time either.
Yeah. You know, part of what you were alluding to before was the fact that you have a printing business, and a lot of people don't know that about Sports One. So tell us a lot about your Sports One printing business.
Okay, what we do, we've been printing probably longer than anybody in the area. I used to work for Coach Tucker at Tucker Sporting Goods when I was in high school and through my years in college. Coach Tucker passed away with cancer my senior year in college. So I was a biology major. There weren't really a lot of jobs available in what I had majored in at the time. So I ended up going in with my mom, who had retired also, and we bought Tucker Sporting Goods, changed the name to Unlimited Sports. And so I've actually been printing uniforms since I was probably 17.
No kidding.
And then in 1989, I had the opportunity to buy sporting goods in the mall. And so I bought that myself and went into just retail. And we were the big Nike dealers for many years. And we were in the mall until the mall kind of died down. We moved out across from the mall for a while, and then we moved by O'Charley's for a little while. And then I had the opportunity for the first time in my life to actually buy my own building and own the space that we were
I
in.
I see, right.
So we bought the store on West Broad, which kind of unusually was the store's probably 100 yards from where our very first building was that we started business in. So I'm kind of made full circle
right
back to where we started. And we've been there for several years. It's great. The old side of town, I just love being back.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, we have several people that we can express gratitude to for helping make that happen. And the list is – very long, but it's a group of people like yourself who are, as you alluded to, full circle. This is all about full circles. You know, I've come back to Cookeville to start a business, and I very fortunately, as fate or divine intervention would have it, would land across the street from two people who, like me, are just there to help support other local businesses and are bringing other people like you who are bringing full circle the generosity that was bestowed upon you at some point, and it's just kind of a wonderful thing. And oddly, it sounds odd to be saying in the middle of this that this is a wonderful thing, but I am hoping for the best in the long run that something great or even greater will come out of this. And it's people like Bob Larrick, who I'm in the studio with at Sports One today, that are going to help make that happen. And Bob's a part of a dynamic duo that includes his wife, who runs an antique business and has just a great eye for pieces, a lot of which I'm using to furnish my store, which will be a rare and collectible bookstore. So we've been working in tandem on that for a while. And in some ways, I'd love to hear the backstory on that, how that you wound up, for lack of a better way of saying it, sort of in the back corner, and Tina's taken over the front and the left and the right of you and all that. And so
I think it's called getting married.
Yeah, okay, there you go.
I think that's what happened. No, what happened was, when we first got married, and for many years, my wife didn't care about antiques, didn't know anything about them, and
didn't
care less. My dad was a big antiquer back in the 60s and stuff. And of course, my dad, an antique to him wasn't antique unless Thomas Jefferson sat in it or something.
Right.
He collected very rare things. So my mom passed away several years ago, and we inherited quite a few things that she had, that also that belonged to my father, and she started learning about them. And the more she started learning about antiques, the more she got hooked. And it got to where, I mean, we can't go anywhere. There's a junk store, antique store. She has to stop and go inside.
Right, right.
We go to every Tennessee football game, home and away, and we'll be in Kentucky or Missouri or somewhere, Florida, and half the time I'm spending looking at stuff for her. So we're supposed to be a sporting goods. We've always handled team stuff. You know, we've got University of Georgia, University of Alabama, Kentucky, all the SEC schools, Notre Dame, Michigan. We do all their shirts, caps, license plates, stickers. We're doing the same thing we've done for many, many years. But now she's added the antique part to it, and it started as sports antiques. We'd find old basketball rims and the old footballs and the old leather football helmets and cool things like that. And, of course, that just spurred her to add even more stuff. So she started having all kinds of antiques in there added in on top of it. Some of it we brought from home that we had, and then some of it she's bought since then.
Yes, you know, that's one of the first things I noticed when I went in, and people that know me, I know that I don't really watch a lot of sports on television. I don't like anything with commercials, and so unfortunately I don't get to watch games like I would have when I was younger, but to see the memorabilia associated with it is just astounding. Your collection is so diverse and so fascinating in a way that it's almost as though she is a curator of a museum. You know, she's actually preserving history in ways that, she's not even, I think, aware of.
But a lot of it is. And we've got some pieces like Randy Adams is a great friend of mine, and he is letting us borrow one of the face masks that his dad invented. The face mask that's on every football helmet everywhere in the world was invented here in Cookeville, Tennessee. And Randy Adams' dad, Joe Adams, is the man that invented that. And I had one of those right in the front of her store. We've got lots of things. When Neyland Stadium first lit their field, we had one of the lights from the Neyland Stadium.
Amazing.
Field.
And amazing.
Just all kinds of sports, things like that.
Now, we'll just assume that our listeners don't know Neyland Stadium, so tell listeners they wouldn't know what Neyland Stadium is.
Oh, it's where the University of Tennessee plays in Knoxville.
All right, there you go. Yeah, a lot of people that aren't sports fans would be interested in this by way of history. So, you know, you could be bringing in history buffs as well as person who just is interested in buying antiques. And the assortment is great, but I had the unfortunate opportunity, if you will, to be able to step into the store post-fire and see the damage. And that in and of itself was both heartbreaking and astounding to see what you have stored there so that you can do prints. These things that I saw after the fire that were in frames that look like vaguely resemble what would go onto a T-shirt. Tell our listeners what those are that I saw, which suffered damage.
Okay, the bulk of the fire was back actually where I would do the printing.
Yes.
The side of the store that has most of the antiques and the retail part, we had smoke damage, but no fire or anything ever reached that side. Our store was actually two stores side by side. There's a brick wall that separated the two, so one side just has some smoke damage, but we're going to be back in that part as soon as possible. The back of the printing area is where most of the damage was, and we had like over 3,000 screens. We do logos. I'm the one that drew the original BBQ's logo, and we had their screens from 30 years ago, and all the different logos that we've designed for different companies in town. We do churches and just about anything you can imagine.
Sure.
And so I'm the printer. We had all the printing machines, the dryers, the stuff that goes along with that. I'm going to have to replace every bit of that.
That's astounding. That is absolutely astounding. It's really heartbreaking. And, you know, again, for it to come at the tail end of what was a devastating tornado, the tornado itself, which didn't directly impact the store in its path, has impacted the community as a whole in that people are now pinching pennies, so to speak. So, so for you as a small business owner, this has to be an especially rough time. So I think a lot of people are very excited to see that you are actually going to be able to come back from that. So we're talking with Bob Larrick of Sports One, partners with his wife, Tina Larrick, who has an antique business in the store. And we'll be right back.
What's so important about shopping with locally owned businesses?
When you shop local, your hard-earned dollars stay here in the community, helping to benefit your friends and neighbors, local schools, roads, and all aspects of community life.
But what happens to my money if I spend it online or at a national chain store?
In most cases, the profits go far away, out of state, corporate headquarters, or even overseas.
It doesn't take any extra effort to shop local. Office Mart on South Jefferson and Cookeville is your locally owned office furniture and supply store. For over 35 years, they've been proud to serve businesses in the Upper Cumberland with quality and value. You get real customer service, too. And unlike shopping online, you can actually see and try out the large inventory of office furniture in their showroom. And when it's delivered, it's not a box on your step. They're glad to install and set up everything. Office Mart. There's no other locally owned office store in the region. South Jefferson Avenue across from Hardee's. Shop local at Office Mart.
Welcome back to Local Matters. I'm Louis Matheny, and I'm in the studio today with Bob Larrick of Sports One, which is located in our great historic West Side shopping district of Cookeville, Tennessee. And that particular building itself has been through many incarnations over the years. And the current one is one of the most vibrant ones I have seen. And in spite of circumstances that have been flying around us, including a tornado, which affected us locally, and a virus, which is affecting the entire world and thus on a local level, they've suffered a fire. And I was absolutely in shock when I got a call from a friend at about 5 minutes till one in the morning who listens to his police scanner when he's going to bed. And as mentioned before, Bob and his wife thought I was drunk dialing them at 1 o'clock in the morning to deliver the unfortunate news. But here we are now, and we're on our way to reopening. When I say we, I'm a small business owner alongside them across the street. And Bob and Tina have given me great inspiration and encouragement, as well as helping furnish the store. Because if anybody has a great eye for antiques, it is Tina Larrick. And I, as you said, she originally wasn't an antique aficionado, but as far as I'm concerned, is one of the best collectors of antiques that I've seen. So
well, she has a very good eye for things, and she's learned a lot. She's had a lot of good friends. The guys at Vintage Rose, Deb and Carol, they've really helped a lot. There's so many Rick's Antiques on the square. There's so many good people that are out there right now, and everybody kind of has their forte. Some people know about pottery. Some people know about, you know, old prints or things like that, and you have to learn a little bit from every one of them. And Tina, I have to hand it to her. She'll find something that I look at and I think, that looks kind of like a piece of junk to me, and she knows that it's a rare something from somewhere, and She's just drawn straight to stuff.
Well, as one man's trash is another man's treasure. All the cliches apply, I think, in this case. You know,
I guess.
But yeah, but she's also in a way, as I said, as a curator, her windows are really something kind of wonderful. And I think as the years pass, there'll be this tradition in the same way that New York City has had its windows, particular stores that people go to for the holidays. And she's very conscious of that and does a great job of pulling it all together and putting together these windows. My question for you that I have that you don't have to answer today on the spot is simply whether or not Tina Larrick's antique store would have a separate name from Sports One, or are you plan on, after the fire, continuing with it being Sports One and just everything under one roof the way it's been?
Well, for right now, Tina's used the antiques to help show off and showcase the things that we have that we sell for retail. For instance, we'd have a leather football helmet in a case, but then right beside the case, we're going to have replica football helmets from SEC schools or something like that. So she hasn't completely taken over my store yet. So we're still trying to do our retail sporting goods that we've had for so long.
Yeah.
She's inundated it quite well, but it's not completely overtaken.
Right, right. Yeah. No, it wasn't until the fire that I was aware of the amount of space that you have, which is much larger. As you said, there's a version of her that's sort of taken over, and one wouldn't know what all is back there. But as I said to several people after the fire didn't destroy, in terms of square footage, a great deal of things, but what it destroyed was of great dollar value and could make or break your business, depending on how this all goes. And you mentioned to me at some point prior to the fire that the COVID virus itself had left you, like a lot of people, with unrealized income that you just assumed. We all did. Nobody has ever planned to operate a business and ask the question in starting it, what happens if a virus spreads across the world and shuts us all down? But we're all handling it pretty well, as far as I can tell.
Right. There's been a lot of things that affected this community in recent times. I mean, the tornado is really devastating. Tina's aunt lost everything she had. All of her possessions, her home was destroyed. I mean, it's really disheartening seeing everything you had pushed by a dozer up to the street.
Yeah.
You know, and
yeah.
Her aunt's doing well. She survived it. She had a lot of cuts and bruises, but she's having to stay in a hotel right now. She has
right.
no home.
Yeah.
And, you know, you make it through that, and then as soon as that's over, it gets overshadowed by this COVID thing that comes along. And I may be in the minority here, but I think it kind of got overblown a little bit. I think people are looking at it a little harder than they should. But it has affected everyone, every business. There's a lot of small businesses in Cookeville that, you know, we don't understand why we have to be shut down. But the government says, no, you have to shut your doors until we tell you can open your doors.
Yeah, yeah.
And so,
well, you know, I've always loved the fact that, you know, people can have different points of view and get along. And I've nurtured that in myself. And I recognize that instinctively with the two of you from the first time we met. You know, we are very much aligned on several sets of ideas and values and very different on other levels, but neither of us are stupid enough to let those, you know, get in the way of our differences. Oh. And we've always, you know, I just think that in these trying times, just everybody should do what they want to do in order to just feel calm and anxiety free as much as possible in the present moment.
Right.
And that's, you know, I'm not telling anybody else to do what I'm doing. I'm just doing what I'm doing. And, So I think we'll get there eventually, you know, and you, as our listeners may or may not know, and Tina and I have been discussing sort of putting together a group of us on Facebook so that we have a place to go and air out our differences and air out what we have in common in order to make small businesses grow. And I've actually been looking to you since I first got here, and I may or may not have said that to you, but I have so much gratitude to you for being generous with your time, your information, and the hard work you do to help me get started. So,
but the thing that we have in this area, first of all, we're Americans, so we've got more fight in us than anybody. And then second of all, we're Tennesseans, and we're the Volunteers, and we're growing up where we're going to take care of whatever we can, and nobody's going to knock us down.
Right.
We're going to get right back up.
Yeah.
And that's just the way we are.
Yes,
I agree. You know, we may have these difficulties, but we're going to be back, and we'll be we'll make it better than we've ever been.
Right. You know, there's the old saying, united we stand, divided we fall. And, you know, I agree with the first part 100%. The second part at this point, it could be arguable, and I don't want to argue about it. But, you know, we certainly will stand united. We may fall both united or divided. We don't really know at this point. Cultural and society have changed so much that I think I'm not one that likes to live in the past, but I do love to preserve history. But I'm one that would like to bring a set of values from the past into the future. I'm seeing a younger generation come up that in many ways you could call the anti-millennials, and they are literally reacting to those that they think are older than them, but not folks like us that are older than them. It's like the 20, 30 something year olds that they're looking to and saying, you know, we want to be the opposite of that. And that's just a natural thing that happens, you know, with generations. And so, there may be great hope for the future in terms of people adhering to what I call civic responsibility and duty, civic pride, and volunteerism again. You know, what the heck happened to volunteerism? Right. And maybe it's back, you know, or at least there's some version of it. We've seen a lot of it, you and I, you know, volunteering and helping each other. So if you could grow one part of your business immediately and open right now, what would it be?
Well, the thing that we really need to get going immediately is back to our team uniforms and stuff like that, because everything is right now opening up. So we've got, and we had started last week. We were open last week, and we were printing all kinds of stuff, uniforms, shirts that have been kind of on hold for companies. The companies are opening back up, so they're needing their stuff. We had quite a bit of business that we really need to be printing as I speak right now. Even though I don't have the equipment to do it with yet.
But yes.
That's the first thing I have to get going is to be able to get all these promised uniforms and stuff that we have now and be able to take care of stuff that's about to hit for the leagues that are going to have late leagues and stuff like that.
Yeah. Well, that's what I had kind of assumed and hoped. And if I could convey anything to listeners on a personal level, it's simply now is the time to also rethink how we all do business and where we shop and how we shop and just make conscious choices. You know, we have for years now been speeding up and speeding up and speeding up. And it very much becomes about now, now, now. I want this thing and I'd like it either on my front steps or in my hands now. And we're putting ourselves under a lot of pressure, and we have a great opportunity. And that's what I keep looking at with COVID-19. This isn't just a plague. It's an opportunity to forever alter our future and how we interact, and in your case, in my case, do business, you know, and start giving business back to locally owned and small businesses, you know.
Right, And it goes back to me with the tornado and seeing this community and how this community came together. I mean, it looked like the whole state was out on Highway 70 trying to help people clean up, take care of this, take care of that. Do you need something to store your stuff in? Can I help you with this? I mean, that's how this whole community was.
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing.
Well, and of course, I want to help you, and you've done a great job in helping me. And for the most part, I'd also like listeners to know the easiest way to find you. And for many of us are on Facebook, and you are on Facebook with Sports and then the number one, correct?
Right.
Sports
yes.
One. And do you have a website or URL separate from that, .com or .com?
Well,
anything.
We would have had a website, because all of our computers are gone.
Right.
But
so you may be coming back with a new website, which would be great.
Yes, we're going to be redesigning everything. And,
but right now, your listeners and people that are interested in checking you out further can look at Sports and then the number one on Facebook. And the store still looks kind of amazing in spite of the fire. It's mostly empty, but you look at this thing and see what a beauty it was right up until the fire, and how that it could come back and be even more beautiful.
Well, we're not waiting on any insurance or anything like that. We've got a crew as we speak that's cleaning the bulk of my store, the side that just had smoke damage. Right now, we're going to try to get back that part back as soon as we can. A lot of the things that we had in the store, clothes, they're all gone. We're going to replace every bit of it. We're not going to sell a reclean cap or shirt or anything like that. The hard goods, stuff that's glass or metal, whatever like that, we can have that cleaned.
Yep.
It's professionally cleaned, and you won't know that anything happened. But the antique stuff, because you can't replace it. A lot of those things are from the 1800s and 1700s. they're one of a kind.
Right. Well, we'll see how it goes, and I'm looking forward to it, especially since I'm just across the street, and I've been in the studio today with Bob Larrick of Sports One, and it has been a great inspiration to me, and I hope to you listeners as well. Thanks for listening.